course, we are having the picnic today. I know you're all full aware of that. I figure you have your favorite part or aspect of the picnic. They're really, we try to make it so there's something for everyone. We try to make it so it is a church-wide family fun time together for young and old. And I think it helps us in a lot of ways just to connect in ways we might not normally otherwise connect. And so my favorite part, not that you asked, but my favorite part is the homemade pies and cobblers and desserts. And my mouth's watering as I talk about that, but that's coming up today. I'm looking forward to that. We have an extra special treat that just developed in the last couple weeks. Richard Prater and Lance Bateman acquired Papa Pat's business. And so that's exciting, isn't it? We're going to have, in addition to hot dogs, if hot dogs is your thing, don't worry, that will be there. But we're going to have pulled pork sandwiches provided by those gentlemen. And that's generous, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So it's going to be a good day, isn't it? We're just getting warmed up. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I remember a few years ago, I was in the market for I was searching for a surround sound stereo system for my home. For movies and for music. And so I was, we really didn't have one of those. And this was as they were really becoming more and more popular. So, you know, I'm searching for that. And I've always been into stereos and things like that. My poor parents when I was a teenager back in the great decade of the 80s. But I was searching for this surround sound system. I had my eyes on kind of a lower end, you know, unit that was in my price range. And I'm in the store. I remember one day walking by some bookshelf size speakers, and I remember just stopping and thinking, you know, I wonder what those sound like. And so I stopped and I turned those up, and I could not believe it. I did not know that speakers existed that sounded that good, because I had kind of taken about a decade hiatus from paying attention to that kind of stuff, and I just couldn't believe it. So next thing I know, there's a room of subwoofers. And I had already kind of, you know, sought one out that was in my price range that was, you know, what I thought was decent size and sounded good. So I was excited about that. But I thought, you know, I'm going to step in this room and kind of see what's going on. I'm going to see how the rich people live. So I step in here and I turn on one of those, and I could not believe it. The bass was so deep, sounded, I could hear it, I could feel it. It blew my mind, all right? And so I looked in that room and I picked out the cheapest one in there that was out of my price range. You know how that goes? And so I come home and I talked to Stephanie about it a little bit, you know. She asked me if I prayed about it. And I said, yes, I have. And God said, I need that. And God did not say I needed that, but I said I did. And that's in my home right now. I'd like to end the story in a better way, but I've loved it ever since. The fact is, we want more when we have enough. Isn't that true? We want more when we, in fact, have enough. Matthew chapter 14 is a great story of people in need. And this is the occasion where Jesus has been healing people sick, and the crowds come. And so Jesus not only has healed their sick, but now he teaches the crowds. There's 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, that are out here, out in the countryside. And verse 16, the disciples, they get concerned. The disciples tell Jesus, hey, you need to get these people, like, we need to wrap this up, Jesus. Get these people gone so they can go buy some food in the villages while there's still time. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. That was probably a test. The disciples had done some miracles. They had more power than they realized from God. But the disciples come back. They say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring them to me. He ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said, a blessing. Jesus gave thanks. In a crowd of thousands, that he's about to feed, and all they have are 2 fish, 5 loaves, and Jesus stops and gives thanks for the snack. What is not anywhere close to being enough. He stops and gives thanks. Isn't it true that sometimes we feel like we don't have much, but in reality, we always have something to be thankful for? Whatever your little is, it's something that you didn't make. And if you made it, you made it with God's stuff and with His intelligence and with His strength and with the body He gave you, right? Everything we have is from God. And Jesus gives thanks for the little. So Jesus broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples. Disciples gave them to the crowds. And this happens over and over. This just keeps happening. Jesus is multiplying the food, passing it out. You know, how long does that take to get this food out to thousands of people? But they do this. And Scripture says that they ate and were satisfied. And you know how people are. We're going to eat, and we're going to eat until we're satisfied. And the people did that. And Jesus could have fed them when there was enough. He could have stopped and there was just, you know, Scripture could read or would have read, there was just enough. And wouldn't that be perfect? But Scripture says they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. This is when people eat, they had enough, they don't want any more. In fact, I can't even finish what I had. Take this. The disciples thought they didn't have enough, but when God gives, we have more than enough. Isn't that right? Psalm 23, this great psalm, maybe there's a part that you haven't or maybe not noticed or thought much about like me, but remember this, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. God, you've given me what I need and way more. I have more than what I need. Our scripture reading today, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? You know, how generous is our God? How generous has God been with you? The fact is, of us here, very few of us, and I would imagine not more than I could count on one hand, and probably not that many, would consider yourselves rich. We just don't tend to think that way. That's my experience. And in America, the true class that's classified as wealthy, that's a whole different ballgame. But most of us would not consider ourselves rich, but consider these things. If you have now, I want us to consider what we have in a global sense, right? Because we do tend to think of what we think of ourselves maybe in a class. We might think, well, I'm middle class, I'm lower middle class, I'm upper middle class, upper poverty level. But we think of ourselves in America as if, and I've done this, and I noticed it a while back, that I look at the world as America, and then there's the other. Like, just kind of plus one, like bonus. This is just, but how does God look at the globe? Don't you know He looks at His creation completely? And so looking as God would look, if you have $3,200 in assets, this is not cash, this is what you own. You own, when you kind of settle it all out, you could, if you settled it all, you would have at least $3,200 in property assets. As an adult, you're in the top 50% of the world. If you made $1,500 last year, you're in the top 20% of the world's earners. This is, of course, counting for the rate of currency, ours compared to other nations. But of earners in the world, if you earn 1,500 American dollars, you're in the top 20%. If you have sufficient food, You have decent clothes. You live in a house or an apartment. You have a reasonably reliable means of transportation. I have one of those. It's reasonably reliable. You're among the top 15% of the world's wealthy. That word wealthy might not seem to fit, but when you're talking about top 15%, when you're doing better than 85%, you're in the good group, right? I mean, you're in the wealthy group. If you earn $25,000 more or more annually, you're in the top 10% of the world's income earners. If you have any money saved, a hobby that requires some equipment or supplies, a variety of clothes in your closet, two cars in any condition, and you live in your own home, you are in the top 5% of the world's wealthy. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Hard to think of, but we don't know how many of the world live so far less than us, do we? If you have if you earn more than $50,000 annually, you're in the top 1% of the world's income earners. The poorest 10% of Americans are still above 70% of the world's income. Isn't it? Let that settle in. Our poor people are better than 70% of the world. Someone at the poverty line in the U.S. is still in the top 14% of those in the world. And so, are they at the poverty line in America? Absolutely. Are they doing better than 86% of the world? Absolutely. The bottom 10% in the U.S. are better off than the bottom 10% in Germany or France. So this is just kind of comparing apples to apples of other nations. How do they, function as a nation financially? How do they take care of their poor or make adjustments for that? So the bottom 10 in the U.S. are better off than the bottom 10 in Germany or France. And by one measure, the bottom 10% in the U.S. have more than the top 10% in Russia. And if you're in the bottom 5% in the United States, you're equal to that of the top 5% in India. India being the second largest nation, just, it's third world type living. You think, well, I wonder how many people are over there. A lot. Okay? A lot more than that are here. And when God is looking at us, how do you think God looks? And when we look at us, how should we look? How should we consider our own status or position? We're wealthy, aren't we? That word might not seem to fit. If we might not feel wealthy, those are entirely different things. But we have a lot, don't we? And you may wonder, why am I telling you all this? And the fact is, our mindset is we don't have enough. And I think one reason for that is we live in a society, free market enterprise. There are a lot of great things about being an American, aren't there? There are a lot of great things about living in our nation. A lot of prosperity, but the fact is we are bombarded continually with commercials or advertising. You need this. This is not more than you deserve. It's just more than you're used to. I mean, you got to have this. The truth is, I would not have bought the stereo system that's in my home had I not seen it, had I not heard it. I didn't know it existed. But in the spirit of impulse, in the spirit of I want, I now have it. Am I giving it up? No. Don't come by this afternoon saying, "Preacher, you talked a big game. I'm here to pick up your stereo you said you don't need." Amen. I don't need it. But it doesn't cost me any more to keep it. I do enjoy it. I have sold a car and bought another in order to lower a car payment before. That's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? When you downsize. But we are very blessed. God is a generous God, and He has generously blessed us. 1 Timothy 6:17 is a great scripture. As for the rich, so here's a scripture. Normally we might have thought, the rich need to listen up to this one. They need to hear this. Well, now it sounds a little different, doesn't it? Which of us is not rich globally? As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. That's a big one. Anytime you lose a job or one in your an income earner, you know, your spouse loses a job, your income goes down. Well, how secure do we feel now? Which is maybe a reflection on, well, what were we secure in before? Were we finding our security in our income before, or did we find it in God? Because God hadn't changed. God didn't lose His job. But on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Incidentally, my garage door is broke. Come home the other day. Open it, push the little button, it opens, I drive in, I go in, about to walk in the house, go to shut it, I turn around, that thing's halfway down. I'm surprised it didn't scrape the top of my car off. I go to push the button, nothing happens. I mean, I've got an issue with my garage door right now. I have to lift that thing up and pull that thing down by hand. And some of you old timers remember a time when if you had a garage door, that's how you opened it and shut it, was by hand. But I can pout about that, complain about that. There are a lot around the world that don't have a garage door. Right? The vast majority don't have a garage door. There are a lot in the Florida Keys area, a lot in Houston, they don't have a garage door. They did, but they don't. Isn't it odd how we look at things? We can bellyache about all kinds of things. I got a problem at my house right now with dish and Cox, and I don't know whose fault it is. I got dish for my TV. I got Cox for my internet. I'm in the living room watching my 4 football channels split on my screen, right? Dish provides me 4. I mean, dish, I like dish. I'll sing their tune. But anyway, I'm watching 4 football games at once, and the wife's in there watching something boring on Hallmark, and she's complaining because it's the Wi-Fi that makes it work in there, and she can't watch her whatever program it is because I'm you know, pulling all the juice with my 4 football programs, so I got a problem. And I can complain about it. We can be upset about our problems as people who have been given so much that our cup runs over. Acts 14. In past generations, He allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet He did not leave Himself without witness. For He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. This is a scripture that's talking about God giving to those that don't even love Him. That's how big of a giver God is. And Matthew 5:45 is one you've heard of before a lot, which tells us or reminds us, hey, God makes His sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the evil and the good. Now, what does that mean? The point is, hey, God even gives to the sinful. That's how generous He is. God gives to those that love Him and those that don't, and His desire is that all would love Him, that we would all be thankful, that we would all notice and worship God and serve God. 2 Corinthians 9 just reminds us that, verse 8, having all sufficiency in all things at all times. That's how much God has given us. If you've never heard Alan and Susan Ringel's story of coming here to Oklahoma, to Sand Springs, you need to take them to lunch sometime and have them tell you. But they, a number of years ago when they were young and when Alan and I both had hair, they came here on a motorcycle with the clothes on their back. They lived with Jack and Sherry Kovnis for a while. Didn't have anything. Didn't have a job. Susan, as she put it, she said it wasn't long and it was starting to get cold that year. She said, we traded that motorcycle in for 4 wheels and a heater. If you've ever ridden a motorcycle or a bicycle when it's cold, 4 wheels and a heater is pretty good. But step by step, God blessed them, God helped them, God guided them. God's good. God's good. You may think, well, Elliot, you're talking about how great God is and how much we have in America. What about those in India that don't have? Is God not good to them? And the fact is that when you have a lot, you can be thankful. When you have a little, you can still be thankful. I would imagine those in a nation that we identify with or understand maybe a little more about is Liberia, because we have missionaries there. Liberia is as poor can get. And in Liberia, when a Christian has food, they give thanks. And I would imagine there's greater thanks there than there is even here. Ironically, you would think those who've been given more would be even more thankful. I would imagine not, knowing how human we are, knowing us as humans. The fact is, God gives to all, and all have something to be thankful for. I want to close with one story. Because some of you, I know, are thinking, hey, preacher, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm just trying to survive and get by. And Tom Cotting tells me about a time in his life. This has been a number of years ago. But a time when he was down and struggling. He said, I didn't have a job. I needed a job. I needed to go look for a job. I didn't have gas money to even go look for a job. Now, if you've been down, you can relate to that. And I can relate. Ringles can relate. More people here than you would think can relate to being down and not having two pennies to rub together. But he said, I'm opening my mail and I'm opening what I think is a bill. And it tells me I've overpaid. And it's a refund check for $32. Now, does God provide or does God provide? And I want to remind you this morning just of how great God is, how generous He is, and how much we have. Our cup overflows, doesn't it? We're going to sing a song of encouragement and a song of praise about how good God is. And if you're here this morning and there's something that we could help you with, that we could lift up to God on your behalf, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to help one this morning put Christ on in baptism and become a Christian, have your sins washed away. If there's a way we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of.